Welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Eileen S., a compulsive overeater from Boise, Idaho, and a member who has had at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome, Eileen.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's very exciting. This is my first international gig. I'm going places in this program, let me tell you. Thank you, Jessica, for inviting me. Jessica and I just recently got to see each other at the OA birthday party, and it was a real, real joy. I am probably going to start with my photos, if that's okay with you, Jessica. I don't know if you, okay, great. That is not me. But there I am. Okay. So I'm just going to show you pictures of me at my highest weight. I'm 5'3". It was 240 pounds. I thought I still looked pretty good. I just had no idea. I was living in a world of delusion. Just really, it wasn't until, I guess it was 2018 when I was brought to my knees. I was about ready to be fired from my job. I was the most sullen employee you'd ever want to meet. And everything was everybody else's fault. And here I am. I moved to Boise to be near my niece and nephew. And I got so big and so into the food that I just didn't want to spend any time with them. This is just an example of what the disease did to my life. I just let things go that I cared about because I had to keep eating. So yeah, this just, I think there's just a few more. But just to give you a visual, you know, I'm out there trying to play with my nephew and I could barely move. He was pretty funny because you see how tall he is. He's like, "Aunt Eileen, you have the biggest butt in the entire world." And I was just like, "Yeah, I probably do. I probably do." So thank you, Jessica. I appreciate it. Appreciate you showing me that. It keeps me a lot more calm when I tell my story. I've tried to share my pictures before and it turns into a big snafu. So I am, I'm 60 years old and I came into OA 10 years ago. And what it was like then was I had spent my entire life knowing that I was different. And by different, I mean that I never felt I belonged. I never felt I belonged in my family. And what I've come to learn in the program is just that I was born super, super, super sensitive and everything was about me. And I expected to be comfortable every minute of my life, and I wasn't. So I was unhappy. And I from an early time, I damaged relationships in my family. My sister, who I love very much, I mean, my selfishness affected her greatly because I worried my parents. They just couldn't please me. And I diverted a lot of attention from my other siblings. I was born, I'm the oldest of five. I grew up outside of Philadelphia and, I had a great childhood. I had a great childhood, but like I said, I was super sensitive and, everything that you said apparently had something to do with me. And, so I started eating and I started trying to manage and control my eating. And actually my disease showed up in many other ways too. I used to take money from my grandmother. I was so little, I had nowhere to spend it, but I do have the disease of more. I just want more stuff. I don't need it, but I got to get it. And once I get it, I got to get some more. And I thought I was heavy way before I was heavy. But I did was always trying to manage and control. And I do remember when we were younger, you know, having meals and everybody would get up and they were done. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting hungrier and hungrier. And I didn't understand it, but I knew, you know, my deep shame, right, was that I must be a glutton. We went to church. I heard that word. I attached it to myself, which, you know, it's sinful. And so I drug all that shame upon me. And eventually I couldn't manage and control. And from trying to starve myself when I was 13 and drugs and all sorts of crazy stuff, I just went back into the food. And I had periods where I did really well, which I was controlling. But usually if I was eating less, I was drinking more. And my weight fluctuated all over the place. And the thing is that the real tragedy is just that I wasn't present for anything. In fact, so many of those years, I can't even remember unless I remember a certain food, right? Oh, you were at so-and-so's wedding. Oh, I remember the cake. But I don't remember the people because I really wasn't there. I wanted you all to go away so I could eat alone. And the beauty of this program is that today I have found that I just want to be connected. I want to call you. I want to talk to you. I want to be in a meeting with you. This is the amazing thing of this program. God has just done amazing things for me. So I definitely don't want to make it all about how it was, but I just want you to know that I definitely belong here. And how my disease manifested too is that, like the actor in the book, I just thought that I was supposed to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. So from an early age, I was like, if I want, you know, X, I'm going to have to do A, B, and C. I meant well. I didn't know that that wasn't the way to live life. I knew of God. I believed in God, but I didn't know I was supposed to rely on God, that I was supposed to reach out and ask for help. I just thought God was in the sky and that if I lost something, you know, I'd get in touch with St. Anthony and pray to him and hopefully he'd get the message up to God. And now I kind of joke about it because that's a God that's not big enough, right? That he needs to delegate. So I don't know what God is. I use the word God, but I just know that there is something bigger than me out there that created me. And that I really do believe is deep down inside of me. I don't know if you ever do two-way prayer, but for me, what that is done, you know, what would God say to me? And it's all these beautiful things come up and I realize they're inside of me. And that all the negative things that are saying, you know, the garbage in my head that I used to think was my mother is my disease. And so I just, you know, tell it to be quiet most of the time. And if I can't, then I call one of you and do my favorite 10 step. So I was just going to tell you that when I came into program, I definitely was living in a world of delusion. I was doing what I thought I needed to do to get where I needed to be. And I fixated on a man in 2012 or whatever. I don't even know. And nice person. And we were friends, but I just was like, I'm going to get him to love me. And it ended in 2014 with him telling me one day that he was in love and that he was going to marry this girl that I introduced him to and that worked with me. And I remember thinking, I can't believe I wasted 3 years of my life on him. But I realized later that God is amazing. I had to have my whole fantasy world shatter for me to realize that I did not know how to live life. It did not have the answers. So that brought me into program, thank you, God, after a summer of crying and eating. But I realized that for the first time ever, that food was never going to fix this problem and that there was never enough food. And that's really, really depressing, really depressing. I had some success in the program. I kind of, you know, I basically would say that I had relapses, but I think now that I'm really recovered, that I never was truly recovered before. I would do the steps, 10 and 11, didn't really understand. I would sponsor until the point that all my sponsors were driving me crazy. And then I would finally go back into the food. So my weight has been off since 2018, but I got crazy again in 2021. And I started lying to myself. Well, I'm sure I've been lying to myself all along, but saying that I was playing with my abstinent food And I just laugh now some of these sayings that I have, because it's all lying to myself that I'm in relapse. You know, what is this playing with your abstinent food? I'm either in the disease or I'm not. And I'm happy to say today that I'm not. But through a series of events, I asked a bunch of people, you know, I'd call people, what should I do? What should I do? And I really still wanted them to fix me. And apparently a part of me still wanted to eat. And what I heard from them was, you're not done with the food. The food will, you know, decide for you. You have more experimenting to do or whatever. And I got so angry because I said, these people in OA are basically, you know, they didn't come right out and say it, but they're telling me to eat. And so I said, fine, I'm going to go eat. And I did. And I went to the store and bought all this stuff. And I remember even then being sad because I bought 12 things, but I'm like, what about the 13th? And if I'd had 13, it would have been, what about the 14th? So I left the store sad. I went home and ate all of it. And after 3 years of no sugar and none of my binge foods, what happened was absolutely nothing. I didn't get sick. I didn't get a headache. I thought for sure, you know, like, this is going to be horrific. You are going to be so sick and you're never going to want to eat again. But I felt nothing. And I had a vision. I don't know what else to call it, of my disease, this crazy face that just said, Eileen, you have no idea. It was sneering at me. No idea how much food it's going to take this time. And it was true. I was scared out of my mind, but a good kind of scare. I took action. I was working with somebody. I was doing pre-step work. I hadn't really committed. I was on the fence. Oh, I committed then. I knew that it was so true. I've never gone into the realm of fast food. There's so many things I haven't done yet. I haven't stayed up all night eating, but that's in my future. That's what this disease is. It's just getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And I have the only defense I have against it is giving up completely and asking my higher power to help me. So I started working my program, and the next day, God removed the food obsession. And even if he hadn't, it didn't matter. I'd made that decision. I was done. I was done. And what's so fun is that just a series of crazy random events, or God, I ended up in a meeting or a workshop where I actually heard the missing pieces. Because what had happened is, as I heard a lot of great things over the years, but I didn't really have a blueprint for living. And so one of the big changes that came for me was in step six, where I actually looked at my character defects, and then I figured out what the opposite was. And I immediately was told I could start practicing them right away. And it may sound very simple, but I just didn't know that. I originally was taken through six and seven, and it's very short in the book, but I was taken through like, okay, well, now I'm going to ask God to remove them, which I still do. But I didn't know that I could start acting right away as if they were gone. I could be kinder. I could be more patient. I could be more loving. And that was a huge, huge game changer for me. Another game changer for me was step 10. I look back every time that I faltered, I just wasn't doing step 10s. I didn't understand. I know it's when you're resentful or if you're in fear or whatever, but that word resentment really kind of stopped me, because I said, you know what? I'm not angry. I'm not somebody who walks around like, I'm not getting in fights with people left and right. I don't go into grocery stores and scream at people. But when I learned that it's a disturbance, you know, that here's my lake and it's calm, and then something happens and it causes ripples, that's when I need to do a 10 step. Normies may not need to. They can take a walk. They can, you know, take a bath. They can have a glass of wine or whatever, and they can calm down. I can't. And what happens is it just gets bigger and bigger and it builds. So I learned, you know, and I'd heard it before, but I didn't understand that the word resentment means to feel again. What do I keep feeling over and over again? And then, you know, coupled with that, what am I afraid of? You know, what is disturbing me? And it's always because something in my world is not going my way, or I'm afraid I'm going to lose something that I have. So I do the 10 steps all the time now. In fact, I got, you know, kind of on a group where I do at least one a day. And what that did for me is it got me over my fear because, you know, that crazy perfectionism stuff, that I'm not going to do it correctly. And now I'm very confident. And I realized too that no matter what's disturbing me, I make it fit in a 10 step. I do, you know, I don't wait for the perfect look. Well, it doesn't really fit with the verbiage, but make it fit. This is disturbing me. And for me, the big epiphany was it's the little things. It's the little things, the petty things that drive me insane. And I'm not proud to admit it, but if that makes me petty, then I guess I'm petty. But I'm no longer judging it. It's okay. It's fodder. You know, I remember taking a test. It was 6 hours long. Somebody kept hitting their pen on the desk. I thought I was going to lose my mind. And now at least I've learned to laugh at myself. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to do a 10th on that. But it's great. It's giving me such freedom. And what the 10 steps do too, is I really, for me, you know, a lot of people can do them quickly. I like to write mine down if possible. I like to really delve into it. I have a vocabulary list that helps me see where I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. I mean, I didn't even know what some of those words meant before. But by doing this each time, I get to grow and I get to see what my part is. And I know now, I never doubt it. I always have a part. And a lot of times it's, I got the ball rolling. I started it first. So step 10 has been huge. And step 11, I've been very fortunate in that I really love meditating. And I've done that consistently for 10 years, which is an absolute miracle. I started with a timer. I started with 3 minutes and worked my way up to 20. So I usually do 20 to 30 minutes of prayer meditation in the morning. And my nightly reviews now too, I no longer use the app. There's nothing wrong with the app, but for me, it was one more moment on an electronic device. So I handwrite mine, I take a photo of it, and I share it with some of my friends, and they share theirs with me. And we can comment or not, but actually what is really nice is we get to know each other. And I like my sponsees too to see my nightly reviews, because at least at the beginning when they're in step 11, because I don't want anybody to ever think that I've got it, that I am, I have arrived. And I'm just like you. I'm just at a different path in the road. And it's kind of crazy when people ask you to speak. I used to think that that's one of the things I was shooting for, you know, that I've arrived when I get asked to speak. And I can tell you that I learned a lot at the OA birthday party this year. I did do some service. And what I saw were people just doing service where they were asked to do service, because we really all have something to contribute. We all know different things at different times. And I'm grateful to be asked to share. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want anybody to ever think like that I'm better than you. I'm just showing you what worked for Eileen Schnurr. And if you can take anything from it, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's 15, Eileen.
Thank you so much. Plus I'm getting better at sharing, because gosh, it used to be when somebody gave me the time, I'm easily startled and I'd be like, oh, and I lost my place. But so I will continue. Let's see, I was on step 11. And then, so step 12, huge for me. And I'm kind of hitting the highlights as far as what, you know, steps that changed for me, but I'll probably go back and hit the first couple ones too. Step 12 has been amazing because I don't know how to have relationships. My emotional growth stopped when I started overeating, when I started using food to smush my feelings, to be somebody that I'm not. I stopped growing emotionally. So I just didn't have normal relationships. I did not have boyfriends. I lived with somebody for 12 years, but that really was a one-night stand that turned into 12 years. And I say these things that, you know, they usually make me cringe. I'm not necessarily proud of it, but I can tell you the beauty of this program is that everything that I've done, especially in the disease, has been already, I've been able to use it to help somebody else. Nothing is wasted in this program. So step 12, I get to have a relationship. So it's whether it's one phone call, one day, 3 months, years, I get to have a relationship with another person. And guess what? That person is going to do stuff that I don't want them to do because it's all about me. So when that happens, I don't have to cause any harm. There doesn't have to be any discussion. They don't have to change. I do my 10 steps and it's beautiful. So I get to grow. So while I'm working with a sponsee, yes, I'm in the big book and I continue to strengthen my program, but I'm also working on relationships and getting to become better at them and realize that people can do, say, and think whatever they want. God, how can I be okay? How can I be okay? And the first step in that is, what is my part in it? And this is how I'm getting to grow up. I don't know if by the time I'm 90, I will be even close to my real age as far as emotionally, but I can tell you I'm doing a lot better today. I'm doing a lot better. So I was just going to read this thing. I found this today. I wrote it in August. And one thing about me and this program, besides the self-reliance, I have a closed mind. Judgment comes in. I'm like, no, thanks. That's not for me. I already did that. Don't want to try that. I already read the big book. I don't need to read We Agnostics. I believe in God. So it's just called I Think I Know. And I'm just going to put it in here because God is leading me tonight. So I think I know what is good for me, what should happen today, what you are thinking, what you should be doing with your life. I think I know the reason why things happen. I think I know better than God how life should be going. I think I know how much money and stuff I need. I think I know that my siblings need the 12 steps. I think I should know when my mother should go to heaven, how my boss should be as a leader, what projects I should have at work, how my neighbors should act, what my sponsees should be doing. But the truth is, I don't know. I have no idea about any of the above. It's all in God's hands. In the end, this journey in life is to do God's will and help others. Who can I be of service today? Turn off the Eileen show and tune into God. So I just thought it was funny to find that because I still get into that, you know, or I got this. And now I joke about that. I got this. You know what I got? I got this disease. I've got this disease. And it's not going to go away. And so step one, I am powerless, not only over food, but over life. And my life was unmanageable. Like I said, I was going to be fired from my job. And that had always been my touchstone. At least I have my job. At least I have my job. And everything was everybody else's fault. It was my boss's fault. I was such a victim. And that's where my disease got me. So yes, I was powerless and that I believed in God, but my God needed to be bigger. So step two, I do believe now that my God can help me, that I've been given a miracle. I know it. I've seen other people get miracles. There's no way that I could stop eating. To walk by a mirror now and to have 100 pounds off for over 5 years, that wasn't me. What was me was I did my footwork. I did what my sponsor asked. And this is what she asked. First of all, she asked that I finally be rigorously honest. I had sponsors for years where I committed my food afterwards. I didn't tell them up front what I was going to eat. I thought, no big deal. But what I found this go round by being asked the night before to commit what I'm going to eat tomorrow and sticking to it, no more, no less, any changes, text my sponsor. What I found was the key to rigorous honesty. And I couldn't believe how every night I wanted to change my dinner, not to anything sexy, but I'm just like, well, I feel like this. And the beauty is now it's like, it doesn't matter what I feel like. This is what I'm going to do. And this, through other things too, has led me to my favorite line in the big book, we're going to let God discipline us. I had no discipline, which is crazy. I went to Catholic school my entire life, so I thought I had nothing but discipline, an overdose of discipline. But kind of like Bill, you know, he had gone to church and all that stuff as a kid. He's like, you know, I'm done. I know better. So I kind of lost my train of thought, but we'll see where God heads me next. Okay, rigorous honesty. I was asked to call 3 recovered people a day. I had never done that before, but there's no excuses now for me. I have apps. I have meetings on Zoom with So Much Recovery, and people post their phone numbers. And the reason I was asked to call recovered people while I was working the 12 steps is so that I got the message of hope. I got the answer, the solution, rather than the problem. I could definitely at that time talk to somebody for hours about the food and this and that. I needed to be working on the solution, because the more I'm in the solution, the bigger it gets. And I don't want the food to get bigger. I was told early on, when you have a food thought, okay, hello, goodbye. No fantasizing on it, no spending time. That's not where God wants me to be. I was asked prayer meditation. I do prayer meditation every day, 30 minutes in the morning before I leave for work. No ifs, ands, or buts. If for some reason something happens in the morning, that has to be done, because I can't function. What it does is it puts me on even ground. I wake up as a compulsive overeater. I'm in the middle of my to-do list. And I just, I need to ask, I love that, you know, in the 11th step, God, please direct my thinking, because my thinking already is crazy town. So I do the prayer meditation. I get to go to work then. I'm not reactive. I'm welcoming. I'm there for people. I'm not like, I need my alone time. No, you had your alone time, and God helps me. You know, and then I was asked to go to meetings and do assignments. And what was beautiful is that, you know, when you see your disease and a vision sneering at you, you're really willing to just get to work and to do what somebody asks you. And as I see too, when I sponsor, that anything that was asked of me, it wasn't for my sponsor. You know how us addicts don't like to be told what to do. It was for me. It was for me. And then step 3, you know, am I willing to turn my will and my life over to God? Yeah, I was. And what that really means is I'm willing to work the rest of the steps, willing to work the rest of the steps. And then 4 and 5, you know, 4 was amazing. And I'm just grateful, even from the beginning when I didn't get it 100%, I had sponsors who were like, let's get through it. Just do it. It doesn't have to look perfect. You have the rest of the steps. We can clean up things later, but let's get through it. It is not a place to sit there and beat yourself up and say, I'm horrible. Nope. It's an inventory. I work in a grocery store. It's an inventory. What do we have? What do we sell? What do we not sell? And then step 5 is freedom, to be able to say those things out loud, for me to be able to say to somebody, I stole from you. I stole from you. I used to think I could never say those words out loud, but I have been set free. I have been set free. So the beauty of the program, among many things, I can walk down any street and not be afraid to meet somebody in the eye. And if there's somebody that I haven't seen in a while that I owe an amends to, it's already been discussed with my sponsor, and I'm ready. I'm ready. When God makes that happen, I am ready to say, I'm sorry. I need to make an amends. I am working to change my behavior. What I did was wrong, and you didn't deserve to be treated that way. So I guess the big thing, the overarching thing in the program for me is just this idea that, I mean, it's obvious that I'm human, but I came into life thinking I was supposed to be the CEO. I'm going to be self-sufficient. I'm going to run the show. I'm going to be amazing. Everybody's going to fall in line and I'm going to be happy. What I have found through program is that God is the CEO. God is my boss. God is my father. And that I'm just a lowly clerk. And I'm so excited to be a lowly clerk, because I can do that job. I'm qualified for that job. And then when that burden is taken off of me, I am able to become the Eileen that I was born to be. Through the program, sloughing off all the fake images, the fake smiles, I'm going to be what you want me to be. No, today I'm just me. Some people may not care for me. That's okay. That's okay. I mean, I'm not perfect. Some days I'm still like, why does that person like me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I'm supposed to be just me and you're supposed to be just you. It sounds so obvious and maybe trite, but I feel amazing because I understand that now. I'm going to make mistakes every day. And I laugh with God. I'm just like, God, I don't know how you put up with me. I'm constantly seeing him with his hand out, asking for the car keys back because I've been off driving somewhere running the show. So I think I'm going to wrap up there and just say, I really thank you for letting me tell my story. I hope something helped somebody. And thank you for letting me be of service. And with that, I'll pass.
You're muted, Lynn.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Eileen. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Now it is